Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're Grant and Danny, brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today. KMLawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. KMLawyers.com. Mike Rizzo was on the station today with the Junkies this morning. Many of you probably have not heard that interview. We've got a few different clips that stood out to us from that discussion, and we're going to go through some of those, react now. If you have a thought as you hear some of these things and want to react, you can do that at 800-636-1067. The Nats have lost 10 in a row as they get ready to play the Rockies tonight. Their longest losing streak in team history is 12. They are in year 5 in a row of being under 500. And I would say they're at least in the fourth year of their rebuild, although one of the things you're going to hear is when Mike Rizzo suggested maybe that the rebuild has not been going on as long as people think. But let's go through some of these Rizzo answers today. I want to start with the Davey Martinez comments about his players. This was Davey putting his foot in his mouth on Saturday after a loss to the Marlins. He was defending his coaching staff, saying that it's never on the coaches. That means that it's always on the players. That's how it was taken. Mm-hmm. And Rizzo was asked about those comments and what Davey had to say.
Here's my take on that. It's, you know, Dave Martinez is as player-friendly manager as I've ever had. You know, he and Dusty Baker, to me, run the clubhouse like no one else I've ever had in my career. So when you talk about, you know, one of the, you know, player managers in the league, Davey's one of them. This guy does 500, 600 interviews a year. You know, he does two a day, pregame, postgame, every time. And, you know, he's flawless. But, you know, he got caught in a frustrating, angry, you know, we were six or seven, eight in a row at that time. And got caught in a frustrated moment and kind of lashed out. And I think it was out of frustration. Here's my take on that situation. There's onus on the players, there's onus on the coaches, there's onus on the manager, and there's a great onus on the general manager to do a better job. We all got to look in the mirror. You lose 10 games in a row. You said at the beginning, it's hard to lose 10 games in a row. I've never lost 10 games in a row. I'm just my 43rd year in professional baseball. I've never lost 10 in a row. It's tough.
I agree with every word of that, by the way. I think he's dead right. I think it's exactly what happened. But my point is there's larger meaning behind it. And what I mean is he and Dusty Baker, I think it's the pretty good comps there in terms of this, are unbelievable at when everybody's shouting, like, this guy's on for his last 20. He'll tell you he's going to go 1 for 21. His next at bat, it's going to work out. I'm in your corner. He is as pro player as you're going to find. It's a reason that guys love playing for him. That's why you notice it when that doesn't happen. It's so out of character. It tells you about that boiling pot, and finally the lid blew off. Right.
It's actually why the comment felt like a bigger deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was such a departure from years of him doing the opposite, taking guys back, even bad players, sometimes non-big leaguers that were in the big leagues, and suggesting and telling us they're going to be fine, they're good, when we kind of know that's not the case necessarily. But yeah, I agree with Davey being so player-friendly. I always said this about Dusty Baker, who I didn't think was one of the better in-game managers in baseball. He's one of the most decorated, successful managers of all time. Dusty might be the greatest manager in the history of baseball for 21 hours a day, every day. 7 to 10, I'm going to generally disagree with a lot of the things that he does, but there's nobody better running a clubhouse. I think Davey's cut from a similar cloth. Davey's probably an 8 out of 10 for 21 hours a day, managing people, managing players, relating to players, the positivity, all those things. The 7 to 10 part of it, I think he's pretty average. That's not game to game, decision to decision. That's not going to be his strength. And so I agree with Rizzo when he says, this is a pro player guy who said something that was anti-player, and it's very, very uncommon and odd for him to do that. But I really liked what Rizzo said, which is, frankly, what Davey should have said. And Rizzo, much calmer, sitting at home in the morning on his cell phone, not after a loss, and with a lot of time to think and prepare, said, the onus is on the players, the manager, the coaches,
everybody,
and the GM, putting himself in the conversation as well. But yeah, that was a really good answer, I thought. And I'll just go back to that comment, while a mistake and bad, it just doesn't matter that much to me. Like, the should Davey be here, shouldn't he? What changes should they make? All that dialogue has almost nothing to do with that comment to me. It's about baseball, the losing, the development. Is the message still getting through? I don't care about that comment. It was a dumb comment. So what? Like, I'm not firing a guy because of a comment.
See, I'm trying to quantify it, and I know I think I'm different than you on it. To me, it's you're right. If I'm just judging the comment, I go, that's a frustrated guy. And Mike Rizzo pointed out, let's say he's talked 1,000 times. That's 998 really good ones, and two times where he probably didn't say the right thing. That's a pretty good shooting percentage, right? I'll take that on my manager every time. To me, it's a bigger deal because it suggests something simmering. Like, a guy that doesn't do that, doing that means something more to me. And I'm trying to figure out exactly what. I want to ascribe something to it. I want to give some blame. I want to give some reasons. I want to give some causes, but whatever. Just the fact that he said what he said within 2 weeks, again, this is, I refuse to separate them. The other comment about the players indirectly, we're going to have benchings, we're going to have platoons, we're going to have to change things, we're going to change things if these guys don't get it. And then 2 weeks later, he's going, it ain't on the coaches. Tells me something, that whether it's they don't have the right guys, or he doesn't think they have the right guys, or he's frustrated with certain young people that he's not allowed to move on from because of organizational hamstringing or something. Again, I don't know what it is, but I know it's something. And I'm sitting there with my metal detector on the beach. I'm looking for a beep. I got, you know what I mean? Like, that gave me the trail or the sniff of red meat, and I'm the dog looking for it.
Davey was, I should say, Rizzo was asked point blank about Davey's future and whether or not he's going to be fired or should be fired. The question was asked, does this have any lurch in here, or is this just Rizzo? Okay, so to set it up, Bishop asked, look, there have been three other situations where managers got fired. The Pirates blew out their skipper. So did the Orioles, and so did the Rockies. It's not that crazy that you would fire a manager when things aren't going well. We've seen it in three other cities. And those teams caught some shrapnel from Mike Rizzo as he answered the question and defended Davey Martinez.
Pittsburgh, you know, Pittsburgh hasn't won a World Series since We Are Family. Colorado's never won a World Series. And Baltimore, Davey Johnson was the last guy who won a World Series with Baltimore. This guy is proven through trials and tribulation that he can handle a roster, he can handle a veteran-laden team, and he's developing at the big league level. And my track record is I have fired managers in midseason. I have fired managers after season. I have fired coaches midseason. I have fired coaches after season. We're all being evaluated. You know, we all got to look ourselves in the mirror. And we are at a point right now where we're moving forward with our development of these young kids. I think Davey still has the pulse of the clubhouse. He's a great clubhouse presence, and he's a calming presence. And I think that, you know, once we get through this thing and win a couple of games, which we will, that we can right the ship and continue progressing towards winning a championship, whenever that is.
So here's my translation to that in a lot fewer words. I think not only in that answer, but throughout the conversation today, it's very, very clear that the World Series win still looms so large to Rizzo. Mm-hmm. He feels like with Davey and just organizationally, the Nats are different. They deserve a little bit more credibility. They deserve a little bit more leeway. They deserve a little bit more patience because we brought you a title. That was a reoccurring theme, I thought, and you just heard it there when asked about the Pirates. They've never won anything since the We Are Family team. The Rockies don't have a pelt on the wall like we do. Now, the Orioles, Cal Ripken Jr. was their shortstop, and he was 23 years old when they won a championship. And that's kind of the tone of Davey Martinez is a World Series champion you're asking about now. Put some respect on his name. But my translation of what he actually said was, I'm not afraid to fire guys during the season. I've done it. We are always evaluating the results. But in this situation, we have a guy that has won us a title, that has not lost the team, and who is still a net positive. Now, these are not my words. I think that's what Mike Rizzo just said. I've got thoughts on that, but I want
to
hear yours.
Yeah, to me, I didn't love the other organizations haven't won anything. Well, you've got one more win or a couple more wins in the Rockies over this same time frame. So I would necessarily...
The last 5 years, the Nats are second to last in baseball, only better than Colorado in wins.
I wouldn't want to invite a ton of comparisons. I'll say that. But yeah, the Pirates haven't won anything. Is that because they fired managers or because they don't spend? I mean, the Phillies haven't won a World Series in a long time. They're doing pretty well, though. I would take their position over yours. So that, whatever. That was my first thought. But the second one was, my takeaway from that statement or those set of statements was, I've fired guys before if it's warranted.
It's not warranted.
That was the ipso facto to me. That was the conclusion. Or you could translate a different way, more cynically, it wouldn't help anything. This wouldn't change anything. We're actually doing what we want here. I gave him a pile of turds, and he's shining up the players that are worth the damn. Like, the kids are doing what they're supposed to do. The rest of this ain't special.
The second part of his answer very clearly to me was, he's not part of the problem, or he's not the reason we're losing. He's going to help. He's still a net positive, not a negative. But the first part, I think, was actually more important and more telling, believe it or not, which was, he basically said he won us a World Series. He won a championship. We know he can do it. He's done it before. Mm-hmm. And you've heard Rizzo say that about the rebuild, say that about himself, say that about the front office. Like, we've won titles. Now, what was interesting is when they asked about the staff later on, like other non-Davey changes, the tone is kind of the same. Like, these guys have done it, which is not true, actually. Not here. They haven't won anything here. None of these guys were here when you won a championship. Not one of the members of Davey's staff currently in the roles that you guys care about, hitting coach, pitching coach, you know, the guys you see on the field coaching the base paths when you're sitting in the crowd, none of them were in those roles when the Nats won a World Series. All right, let's go to the next cut here. Rizzo defending the rebuild and how long it's taking. So this, I believe, is where he suggested that it started in 2022. Now, this I'm going to have to take pretty considerable issue with, because they traded over a half dozen players in 2021 in a major sell-off. That's when they traded, and he does circle back and say they kickstarted it with the Scherzer-Turner deal. But that was not the only trade. They traded Yan Gomes. They traded Josh Harrison. They traded, going back to that time, I think Brad Hand.
Schwarber.
Bunch of their relievers. I think they made probably 7 or 8 trades, all selling, none buying, in 2021. So the deadline of 2021 was truly when the rebuild began, the 2021 season, which means you've suffered as a fan base through the 21 half season where all the good players went away, 22, 23, 24, and now this is 25, which is the fifth year. The Junkies asked it, I believe, as this is the fifth year of the rebuild. And he said, actually, I think of it as when we traded Juan Soto in 22 as the start of the rebuild. Well, then what was 21 with the major sell-off? Is what I would ask.
Is that the tear down? You could play semantics with that. That's probably, and say that.
Okay, maybe that's a fair answer.
Because, I mean, think of the Wizards, what they said, right? We're like, we can't rebuild yet. We have to tear down the old thing. We're in the tear down phase. I don't know if they use those words, but that was the implication.
Okay, but if the rebuild is different than the tear down, then the rebuild if he's describing it as like when we got young big leaguers that are good, so Gore, maybe he's going to say Ruiz or whatever. CJ Abrams came over in that deal. I guess that's possible, but it is just semantics.
Yeah.
The reason for the idea of how long the rebuild's taking and how restless the fan base is the number of years that if I'm a season ticket holder, I've been paying gargantuan prices to see a losing team.
Yeah, at no discount, I'm seeing bad baseball.
2020, the pandemic, I didn't get to go to the games. I think toward the end of the year, they had like 5,000 fans there or something in some lottery. But that was a really disappointing, good, well-put-together team that was sub-500. But 21, 22, 23, 24, and now 25, it's five straight years of being under 500. But this was Davey when asked about, you know, this is not just about 10 games, I think was the way Cakes phrased it. Mm-hmm. Like the losing streak we're talking a lot about today, for a lot of people, this is about 5 years.
When you look at it, you know, we had 8 years of great success, 12 to 19, four division titles and the world championship in that mix. And then we had a rebuild. The rebuild, in my mind, didn't start till we traded Juan Soto in July of 2022. I guess in 2021, Max and Trey were traded, so that was the kickstart of it. But, you know, I think we're into this thing three and a half years. The rebuild before when I took over in 2009 to win the division title in 2012 took three plus years. This one's going to take a little bit longer. But all these rebuilds aren't linear, and landscapes change, injuries happen, player performance it doesn't develop as on schedule as you would like. But I think when you see, you know, the four or five young position players we have and the two or three young starting pitchers we have and the three or four bullpen guys that we have, they're all young, controllable players that are going to develop with us and learn with us and learn how to win. And when we get to the time where we're ready to win, hopefully we'll invest in the roster and make some moves to put us over the top.
So a couple of things here.
Yeah.
Number one, he talks about the first rebuild and how much quicker it was. Here's what he can't say. They spent money that mm-hmm. time. So the part that Mike and the front office control, and we could talk about the historical drafts and development, which we've talked about a million times, that have to be better and over the last couple of years have. But just specific to the rebuild, the part that they control, having the young, affordable, cheap, controllable talent, they have done brilliantly. Now, it's basically a couple of trades, and it's mostly the Soto deal, if we're being honest. Mm-hmm. But you've also supplemented with Dylan Cruz being number 2 overall and Brady House being number 11 overall. But you're now positioned in a pretty good spot with a starting pitcher in Gore, Soto deal, leading the big leagues in strikeouts. James Wood, superstar, should be an all-star. CJ Abrams, very good player, could be an all-star for the second time. Brady House, who just got called up, hopefully ends up helping them. Dylan Cruz is going to be a really, really good major leaguer for a long time. Like, that's a very solid core. They did their part. But you have to supplement and add with money. Ownership is not. They were supposed to this offseason. They didn't. 9-11, they signed Jason Wirth during that time for $126 million. You look at that roster they had, in addition to the kids, that core at that time, their young guys.
Zimmerman, like Desmond, Jordan Zimmerman.
Bryce Harper, you know, like the Steven Strasburg, the guys they had drafted. That was like their Cruz and their Wood or whatever. Mm-hmm. They had Adam LaRoche, who was 32 years old, who cost real money. They had Mike Morse, who at that time cost some money, who was 30 years old. It was a completely different situation. Yes, you had homegrown Jordan Zimmerman and Strasburg, and you'd hit on a couple of trades like Gio Gonzalez, but you also went out and spent real money on Edwin Jackson. They haven't spent that kind of money via today's numbers on anybody to supplement. They haven't brought in relievers at the same rate like Mike Gonzalez or just trying to think about that roster, Sean Burnett or whoever it is.
Right.
Like it was a completely different thing because they actually spent money while they developed the young talent. Now you only do the other part without any of the money.
Well, my big pullout from that one in terms of quotes was, when we're ready to win, wait a minute. Hold on. Wait. You told everybody you were ready. So if I'm a fan and I heard that, and I am a fan, and I heard that, I went, well, what the hell was all that then? We spent all the time before the season started. This offseason happened, and a lot of people were disappointed. A lot of homers saw some kind of silver lining that some of us didn't see. Whatever. Point is, we were told this group right now is ready to win. I think that's why a lot of fans are so upset.
I agree.
Is that's not happening. You're the fourth worst record in the National League, and it's going south, and 7 out of 9 of your regular position players have below average OPS, slugging percentage, on-base percentage, et cetera, every single night. So no wonder you're not winning. You told us you were ready to win, and now you're saying, well, whenever that happens, hopefully we'll spend money. Oh, my God.
So the panic button. The word hopefully.
Yeah.
But the whole sentence.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you. One of my big antenna moments was, when we're ready to win, this was the we're ready to win year.
Yes.
And maybe not. Maybe he means win, like win big in the playoffs, whereas this year, they were ready to turn a corner, be over 500. You know, they said, we're ready to win. And we all kind of knew what that meant. They're ready to compete ready for to the compete wild card.
A little bit. Yeah, sure.
Isn't happening right now, obviously. 10 days ago, maybe a little bit different story. But right now, that's certainly not the case. And it doesn't look like it will be this season. But my bigger takeaway from that sentence was the word hopefully. In that, Mike Rizzo, who's the president of baseball operations, sounded like me talking about ownership. When I, for the entire last 2 calendar years, said, hopefully, in the offseason before 2025, they will spend. And everyone said, of course they will. Of course. I and so many of you listening were so patient. No reason to spend right now, offseason after offseason, when the team's bad, to bring in a free agent on a 3-4-5-year deal that would then be only a year or 2 or 3 left by the time you actually did start winning, if you did it correctly in 2025. Why would you do that? Wait till this past offseason, spend good money, bring in quality players, have a better big league roster. And I guarantee you Rizzo and people over there probably thought that's what's going to happen. And then it didn't. But for him today, when he talks about the future, to say, hopefully, play just the end of that clip again, if you would. Like, I thought that was a huge comment there. When we're ready to win, hopefully we spend. Hopefully?
I mean, I don't.
Hopefully, he didn't say the word spend, but hopefully we bring in
players. We'll bring in players, which means spend money on players.
But hopefully.
Yeah. Like
that is like a beep, 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 beep. It tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, I was in my car this morning and my jaw dropped. The rest of it, I don't think he meant all these things necessarily, but this was one of those times, as I said earlier, the analogy I used was, is Captain America swatting everything aside with his shield?
Yes.
Right there, his shield was down. And I saw like behind the scenes and I went, oh my God, I see the wire.
Hopefully. That's a great line.
You know what I mean?
Hopefully they're going to bring in players.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Oh no.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Like he's going, I don't know. Hopefully. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, maybe for true, a number comes in and we can spend on some people.
Now I can spin 2 plates here. I know that fans heard them say they were ready to compete,
mm-hmm.
and they took that to heart, and they're mad. And you should be, and you're allowed to be.
Yeah.
It's why I thought it was an unforced error. I've said that more on these airwaves than anybody else.
We both did.
It was an unforced error. I totally get it. This is where I sometimes get myself in a little hot water, though, with fans who want to hear something that I'm just not willing to say. I don't believe what is said. I don't take it gospel. Mm. I believe in actions, not words. The actions were not the same as their words. If you really thought you were ready to win, you would have gone out and signed a Christian Walker. You would have gone out and signed an outfielder who could hit home runs so Dylan Cruz could play center and Jacob Young could be your fourth outfielder. You would have signed a starting pitcher so you weren't just hoping that Michael Soroka could be a number 5. You would have added to the bullpen with real relievers so you didn't have to look in the $5 DVD bin for Lucas Sims and Colin Poche and the ghost of Jorge Lopez. You didn't do it. So in my mind, when they said it, I'm going, they're setting themselves up here. This is bad. But I can't go to a listener or a fan or a season ticket holder or someone who's spending good money over at the park and go, oh, you're overreacting. You shouldn't have been listening to them. What? You've got to.
Yeah.
I can just tell you the story, and I always do, about Mike Shanahan. You still hate the comment Mike made about staking his reputation on Beck and Grossman. You still hate that. He said it, and 5 minutes later, I bump into him. I'm like, you really think they're that good? And he's like, no.
No.
He's like, I got to put my, you know, I got to have faith in them. I got to put my name behind them, you know, in publicly so that they know I'm behind them. But he knew what they were. But everyone thinks he thought John Beck was going to be great. So I get that. I just don't do it that way. I'm an actions guy. But they set themselves up for sure. And that is part of the anger for the fan base. And it's 1,000% understandable. But hopefully, Danny, on the way out, play that. Hopefully. What a word. What a damaging.
Doing a lot of lifting. Or depressing in this case.
What a heartbreaking word.
Yeah.
I could either hear this clip again or I could get kicked in the shins.
Hopefully.
Which one?
Hopefully do.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grede, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grede, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And, you know, when we get to the time where we're ready to win, hopefully we'll invest in the roster and make some moves to put us over the top.
Hopefully we'll invest in the roster. Hopefully.
There's a bat around here. You want to just take that and hit my shins repeatedly until the show ends?
Hopefully we'll invest in the roster.
Whoop. See you later.
That tells you everything you need to know, I think. But there is more to the story, clearly, and there's plenty of blame to go around below just the lack of investment necessary on the roster. And that's where you guys can come in if you'd like. Phones are open at 800-636-1067. We're playing some of the clips from Mike Rizzo today on The Fan. What did you make of Rizzo's interview with the Junkies, the clips that you're hearing? It does not sound like there's a change being made with Davey. It certainly doesn't sound like there's a change being made on the coaching staff at all. Can you be okay with that if they start to play a little better baseball here? And could anything happen that makes you feel confident in this group? What would have to happen in your mind for Davey to get to a point where you say, okay, even though I wanted a change, you can see this thing through to the end of the year? 800-636-1067. Let's go to cut four here. This was a direct question on fans wanting Davey out and the fact that there is this pulse. The Wolves are at the door. The pitchforks are out and the lanterns are being waved here where everybody's looking for blood. I thought this was Rizzo's best zing of the entire interview, for what it's worth. Like, I don't know if he comes up with this or someone gives him this line, but this one, if this is a presidential debate, this is the one CNN goes to break with.
Right, the talking points after the fact. We're like, I thought he scored major points tonight with this zing.
This line was pretty damn good.
You guys had Davey out the door in 19, too. I mean, so, you know, your station, every other station wanted him fired. The coaches fired. The GM fired. The owners sell the team. Same, it's the same thing. It's built on frustration, and I get it. You know, fans are fans. They root for their team. They want their team. They want to be proud of their team. They want to, the team to perform well. So, you know, because it's their team. Believe me, we all feel that. But I'm looking at the big picture of an entirety of a season, and you know, we're in June 17th or 18th, and we've got 3.5 months of baseball left. And you know, 10 days ago we were 30 and 32, and we, you know, we, our whole discussion and narrative was different.
Totally. Yes.
And we're hopefully in a 10 days from now, I'm back here on a Wednesday, and we're talking about, wow, we really turned things around.
Now, I know some people bristled at the comparison of this team and the 19 team, which is not, in my opinion, what he was doing. As much as he was saying, at 19 and 31...
We can't be reactionary to...
Everybody fans. Wanted Davey fired, and that's true. I remember taking the calls for days on end about mm-hmm. fire Davey. It felt exactly like this, honestly. Mm-hmm. But everybody wanted him canned. It was his second season. They had underachieved a little bit in his first year, around 500. And then they got off to the 19 and 31 start, and the feeling was, this guy can't do it. Remember, he inherited a really good team that Dusty had in the playoffs, 95-win team. They'd missed the playoffs. They're on their way to do that again. Eventually, Rizzo pars the course, stays with the plan. He turns it around, and Davey and the Nats win the World Series. Now, I don't think he's suggesting that's going to happen this time. Clearly, very, very different rosters when you had Trey Turner, Anthony Rendon, Juan Soto, Adam Eaton, Howie Kendrick, Kurt Suzuki, Ryan Zimmerman. You know, offensively, and on the pitching staff, Strasburg, Corbin, Scherzer, Anibal Sanchez, and others in the rotation, and a bullpen that was much better than this one. But, you know, I had the question today when I went on with Kevin Sheehan over on 980, and he asked me point blank, he's like, do you think Davey would be fired in a bigger, more passionate, traditional baseball market? Like, would he still have his job? And my answer was no, I don't think he would. I think in Boston or New York or something like that, the change is already made. But it is worth acknowledging that they would have fired him in 2019 in those markets too. And Rizzo didn't, and it worked out. Now, what does workout look like this time? That's very different than winning a World Series. But yes, I think he would be out in a quote-unquote like real baseball market or something. Yeah, that's fair. But also, that would have happened in 19 too, and that team with an interim manager probably doesn't win the World Series.
Yeah, we also have data points too of 5 more years of what this experience looks like. And to Rizzo's point about it, we could turn this around. It's still small potatoes because I've already done this dance once this year. Remember, the 10-game losing streak's all everyone's talking about right now. But they lost 8 of 9 not that long ago to go 9 games under .500. I just did that dance, and you climbed and scratched and clawed and did yeoman's work to get within a couple of games of 500 and then fart noise again. I bet you we do it again when they win a couple of games here, there, and everywhere. The point is, they're not out of this. We're doing Bane's prison bit, right? Where they've climbed and the guy's doing, they're all chanting the rah, and he's trying to like jump across, and then he falls down for the millionth time. We're climbing out of Bane's prison for the millionth time again when they turn around. They'll win again. They're not going to finish 0-100, but you're still doing the small potatoes deal. Quite frankly, if you beat the Rockies tonight, the whole thing's still broken. I don't care if you score more than the worst team in baseball or not in this one particular game.
But it's all you can do tonight.
Sure.
And it's certainly better than the alternative.
Of course.
It can't be, it's got to be, you can't have it both ways, that if you beat the Rockies, it means nothing. And if you don't beat the Rockies, it's the worst thing in the world. It's a Major League Baseball team, the worst that we've seen since 1899. For the record.
Just 140 years of sample.
But if they win, it does show that they care about Davey. They're, you know, if they go out and they win 9-2 or the ninth inning last night, if they just didn't care, the message wasn't getting through, if they're going, all right, one more of these and Davey's out, they're probably not scratching and clawing for 4 runs in the ninth inning. Mo's in Largo. What's up, Mo?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, buddy.
Now, let me start off by saying I'm a casual Nationals fan. I don't watch the games very often. Most of the time, it's mostly when I'm gambling on them. But I am a fan of the team. But I like to speak more so to the speech pattern that took place from the interview. You know, I didn't hear definitive remarks. You know, it was almost like he was just reaching, like he was looking up in the sky, just trying to find something positive to say. And like you said, Grant, it's all about the actions. You know, you can say what you want, but the actions displayed, they're okay with what's taking place. Like, they haven't been spending money for a while now. They've been losing for a while now, and nothing has changed. So from my standpoint, they're okay with what's going on. Because if they weren't, then there would be a sense of urgency. And the fact that they haven't spent any money and they haven't fired anybody and they're allowed to continue this lack of production, ownership's fine with it. They're just looking to cash out. That's just how I see it, gentlemen. Thank you.
Appreciate you, buddy. Yeah, I have empathy to a degree for Rizzo and in this front office. Like if you are, you know, humbly go before your lordship and go, perhaps, my lord, $6 million for a position player with a good track record. No, I'm sorry, my lord. Sorry to bother you. Please don't chop my head off. If that's the situation, what are we all doing? But, and it sounds like that's probably close to the situation, minus the British accents. That's where we are.
Right.
You know? So like, yeah, I mean, and he's right. I mean, and I'm not throwing Rizzo under the bus here at all, but this is true with me when I'm searching for a word where I'm not cursing because I'm on the radio. But like, if you sit down and talk to Mike Rizzo, that's not what he sounds like. He talks like a person right there. He's reaching and trying to find the right diplomatic words, and he's saying the right things. He's doing the job that he's been assigned.
It's one of those days where there's nothing he could have said short of I'm firing people today, right, that anybody really wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
unenviable. Yeah.
It's pretty much a lose-lose situation. And I understand that, and I'm open to that. But he said, this is on me. This is on Davey. This is on the players. It's on everybody. I have said for a long time, if we're doing a blame pie, there's a gigantic slice of pie for me, which is you have to spend money on players. You have to spend money on the things that matter. And if you're not doing that, this all's just one big fool's errand.
Yeah, the whole thing's a waste of time.
Basically. And that's kind of where we are, and who knows how long we're going to be there. But when you set that to the side and you say, okay, same as like the old Dan Snyder thing.
Yeah.
We could have come in here every day and said, Dan Snyder's the owner. He's the worst. They're never going to win. Nothing else matters. On to the next team in town. We didn't. We just kind of knew that and set it to the side, and then you talk about and figure out everything else. The rest of the pie with like the terrible situation and the really bad scenario that you've been given, how are you handling it? There have been plenty of off seasons, even when they're not spending, when the Nats have done a much better job than they did this offseason. When you go out and you give Josh Bell $6 million, that has gone terribly. When you don't have any money to spend on the bullpen, that's not your fault. But the little bit of money that you got to spend on the bullpen, the Finnegan thing, bringing him back, they were really smart about spending less on him, and he ended up crawling back to them when the market wasn't what he thought. But Lucas Sims, miss. Colin Poche, miss.
Yep.
Jorge Lopez, miss. Like, if you look at their offseason, it was kind of Rosario as a hit and not much else.
Yeah, there are guys in that range, to your point, who are having much better seasons. Very, very reasonable.
And they've hit in the past on a Jamer Candelario and other guys like that that didn't happen this offseason. So I'm sure the baseball people would say, yeah, we missed too much this offseason. But 10 days ago, based on how good the kids were and the production they were getting from a couple of their veterans, Nate Lowe in a trade, Rosario, who we were talking about, whatever else, there were a couple games from 500, and it looked like they were the farthest along they've been in this thing. And now you fast forward 2 weeks, and it feels like even if you squint with the binoculars, you can't see the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, three different times. They've got within a few games of 500, lost 6 or 7. Got within a few games of 500, lost 8 of 9. Got within a few games of 500, lost 10 straight. I've done this pattern.
Beltway Blitz in 15 minutes.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Our double plays coming your way in just a couple of minutes. Beltway Blitz at the top of the hour. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's go to Bill in North Carolina, wants to hop in on the Mike Rizzo interview today on the Fan. What's up, Bill? How are you?
Hey, very well, guys. Always good to talk to you. One thing that Mike didn't bring up, I remember when, who can I use it as an example? The Cubs, when they started their tear down at the same time, and one team was willing to spend, one team along the way got into, you know, the Nick Senzels, the Joey Gallows, the Elijah Greens, the Carter Kieboom's of the world. And it just, you know, one went well and one didn't. But it's frustrating. But I think one thing that did hurt, I thought Cruz was going to be a good right-handed hitter, but that he went to, you know, he went out at a bad time. But still, it's just not gonna looking good for the long pole here. And I was never much for letting managers go midstream. You know, I think, over the course of 162, they might win. A good manager might get you five games. But still, if Bud Black's still unemployed, I'd take a long peek.
He is, actually. Yeah.
He is now, yeah.
I mean, maybe he would take that low ball offer right. that he got years
Remember
ago.
Remember, we offered you years ago? You want to come crawling back and take it?
He's managing the Rockies until a couple weeks ago. So he is out there. Yeah, look, if you made a managerial change, it wouldn't do anything to alter the direction of the team, I don't think. It's not like a better manager is on the staff, and it's not like Davey, even frankly, is the problem or is a major problem. You would be making a change for the sake of, essentially, to Mo's point a few minutes ago, showing some urgency and showing this is not okay.
Yeah, everybody, we see what you see. We're telling you this isn't acceptable to us either.
Status quo is not acceptable.
Right.
Right. That's why you make that change if you make the change. It is pulling a goalie in hockey. The backup goalie is not better than the starter. The next night, the starter is right back out there. But you do it because you can't sit all the defensemen that are sluggish and turning the puck over. You can't sit the forwards that aren't getting back. So you make the move because everyone else then goes, whoa,
oops,
that guy lost his job. Okay, I got to get to the clubhouse a few minutes earlier. Probably got to work a little bit harder. Zero in on the details a little more. That would be why you make the change. It's not because Miguel Cairo is going to be some awesome renaissance creating skipper. That's not a thing. I, by the way, if I was going to make a change, I'd probably dabble down to AAA and go get Matt Lecroy, who's coached a lot of these guys at Rochester, and just get someone from kind of outside the staff. Or I would do something really, really wacky. And this is just going to sound like fantasy baseball dumb, but like Sean Doolittle, you know, who has never managed before, but you got Cairo sitting there helping you manage games or whatever. And at least at that point, you've got, you know, somebody who I think there would be like an excitement and a popularity and some fun to that from like an internal. I'm not talking about the fan reaction, which obviously would be that, but like internally as well. But somehow I'd elevate his status. Maybe he's the full-time pitching coach with other changes you make or something, but doesn't matter. It doesn't sound like Rizzo is interested right now in making changes.
No, this is very much a stay the course type situation. Again, I wonder how much of that is because Mike Rizzo believes in every single member of the staff. How much of it is, I know it's going to turn around starting tonight and we'll be right back within a couple games of 500 in 2 weeks. Or if this is a, you know, again, a money thing from high on high. We are not going to pay anybody not to work for us, right? Like, and I'm not being critical. I'm just sort of offering the comparison. Everyone in the whole world knew that Ron Rivera wasn't going to be brought back, right? We all knew for a long time. And I'm sitting there going as a fan, please just give me my pound of flesh. Let me just take a bite. Just fire him. Just shoot him into the stratosphere and let everybody know that you see it too. And the Harris Rails ownership group, too gentlemanly. Part of it's also like there's no point doing it other than giving somebody like me the satisfaction. We're paying him anyway, right? We're going to lose. We already got that taken care of. We got a successor. We know what we're doing, and that's fine. So I wonder if there's something to that where this organization is not in the business of paying anybody who's not playing for them, except for all the deferred contracts. But in terms of current employees, they don't want to pay anybody extra. Maybe.
I actually love the point that guy made about the Cubs, who started their rebuild, as he said, right around the same time, right after the pandemic, basically, mm-hmm. who are now one of the best teams in the league. They have the young talent like Pete Crow Armstrong. They got in their trade with the Mets, but they've actually gone out and they've added salary with guys like Kyle Tucker, albeit on a rental and a trade, but a guy that Washington could have acquired if they wanted to. Now, they can't go get Cody Bellinger or Kyle Tucker and bring in that kind of salary. They've got to go get the guy for $10 million like Nathaniel Lowe. The Cubs right now, their payroll, just as a comp, is $190 million. The Nationals are 115, and that's with Strasburg. So you take his money out of that, and you're down to like a little over $80 million. That's not even to talk about the other deferments the other guys that aren't on the team right now, like Joey Gallo, to your point, that you paid over 3 years for $5 million. So, I mean, it's half. You know, you started at the same time. The payrolls are night and day different. It's a really, really good observation to make it practical and easy for people. The Beltway Blitz is next. We'll cover the teams in town you care the most about.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.